horses neigh, and fights will life have, please the 99. I don't deserve it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about y'all ladies, but that was some powerful worship, and I just completely feel the presence of the Lord in this place. I told my friend back there, I said, I feel a little bit drunk. Drunk in the spirit. Amen. He's so good. He's so good. Father, we just give this house to you, Lord. We welcome you into this place, Father. Have your way. Do your thing, Father, as only you can do your thing, Lord. Holy Spirit, open us up from the inside out so that we can receive all that you have for us, Lord. It's like open up our minds, Lord Jesus, and just pour into there so that we can have an understanding of who you are, that we can go out and walk as you have called us to walk, that we can declare truly that we have the mind of Christ and that we are walking in his favor and his light. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for Glenn and the beautiful worship that you have put in his heart this morning and shared with us. How it has been beautiful, beautiful to you, Lord Jesus. We just want to give an offering of praise to you because you are so worthy of it. Father, I thank you for every woman in this place, Father. I thank you for their lives, Lord. I pray for protection over them, healing in their bodies, healing in their lives, Lord. We are a living sacrifice according to your word, and I declare it spiritually, physically, and mentally. We are a living sacrifice unto you, and we will walk in it daily. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Your word is life. It does not return unto us void, but accomplishes where it is sent and prospers in the way it should go. It is our hope. It is our future. It is what is in store for us, and we grab hold of the promises of God even now, today, and run with them. Run the race that you have marked out for us, Jesus. We praise you for all that you've done. Lord, the ladies that could not make it this morning, Lord, I just pray for them this morning, Lord. Minister to them in their place of need, Lord Jesus. Whisper into their ear, Lord. Block out distractions from this world that tend to just fill our minds and our bodies, but block out the distractions of this world that we may feel the peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts in our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I walked into this room this morning, and this is what came to me. And I want to tell y'all, I did not grow up in a church that sang hymns. And I came into this room and I heard, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God. Is that how it goes? Yeah. Kind of, sort of? That's the part that God gave me. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God. I know there's other parts to it, but that's the part he gave me. So I felt like I needed to share that with y'all. We're going to stand on his promises this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And all these things we pray. Amen. Amen.
My yes. Pleasure. Thank you for worshiping.
I want to thank Glenn because he sang my favorite song. Reckless Love is my favorite song right now. And it's an amazing one. You can find it on YouTube. And we are actually singing it this Sunday at church. So if you want to hear it again, please come. I'm not singing it.
which she voiced her disappointment.
I voiced my disappointment. Glenn is singing it, and he did a beautiful job with it, Glenn. Absolutely beautiful, despite his discomfort with it at times. All right, does everyone have a book here this morning? We just love our books. We're so excited that God's doing that for us. We're going to start doing those every semester, and I'm excited about that because I get to put all the pretty pictures in there, and that's fun for me. What's today about? Glenn, I'm going to put your massive iPad over here. This is like a TV. I've never seen something so big in my entire life. What is today's, we don't need this. What is today's topic? Who can tell me?
Uphill and new seasons.
Uphill and what?
New seasons?
No, that's next week.
Mothering.
Mothering in uphill times. Woo! Mothering in uphill times. Let me tell you what. If you're a mother in this house, raise your hand. Even if you're not a mother, I believe that God will give you some kind of opportunity somewhere along your life where you will mother over a situation. Will you be a leader over a situation? Will you exhibit love and respect and patience in a situation? Let me tell you what, those are the attributes of being a mother. Amen? Can I get an amen for my mothers amen. Who have babies right now? Amen. Especially the patience part, right? Mothering in uphill times. We're going to be studying out of the book of Judges. Judges chapter 5, 4 and 5 actually. So if you want to turn there, you can. We're going to be studying about Deborah. One of the things I love about Deborah is that, yes, she was this mighty leader of Israel, and she was a woman, which is really kind of cool, but also she was a mother to Israel, and her approach, her understanding and wisdom and how she mothered Israel gave me such insight into being a mother in these kind of days that we're living in. And so as I began to study the way, not just who she is, but the way that she mothered over Israel, I began to have understanding on how to mother my own children in the times that we live in, or how to mother a situation, how to mother Bible study, how to mother my finances, how to be a leader, how to do things right in God's eyes and take care of things. Come on, this is just not about mothering over our children this morning, amen? So I want us to go straight to the Word of God this morning and go into Judges 5, 6, and 7. When I say Judges, everyone kind of gets quiet. It's kind of that book that we kind of like, ooh, I don't know. I think I'll skip that one. Kind of like Lamentations. We just kind of go over it. Let's go to Judges chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Are you ready? In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned. Travelers took to windy paths. Village life in Israel ceased until, thank you, Jesus. Until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Man, there's some powerful words just in those two verses. The question here is not that you are a mother, but if you are a mother who has decided to rise up. Because the Bible says specifically that Deborah was a mother, but more importantly, she rose up in a time where people took to windy paths, took to different ways, alternative routes. Come on, we're living in those days. I don't know about y'all, but I see it every single day. We are living in windy paths, alternative ways. Village life had seemed to cease. Like what's familiar, what's common, what's known, what's of God had ceased in the land. Mothering in uphill times, like that of Deborah, travelers took to different paths, alternative paths. Seems like today, you know, the world just tells us to live however we want to live, love whoever we want to love, do whatever we want to do. You know, to me, that sounds just like what's happening in Israel at this time. And she decided to rise up. She decided to rise up and do something different. And as a mother, I don't want to take to the alternative path that the world is giving me. Amen? I want to be a woman and a mother that rises up and leads with integrity of heart and according to the will of God. Come on, raise your hand. Give me an amen if you want to, too. Thank you. Being a mother who rises up does certain things in her life and how she approaches things. And as I read about Deborah, I took note of her actions. I want us to look first at the first thing that she did. One of the biggest things that she taught me that she did was that she led by example. She was a leader by example. I want you to look at chapter 5, verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel." She declared her I wills. She said, "I will serve the God of Israel. I will make music in my heart. I will lead with integrity. I will do these things. I will avoid what's happening and what I'm seeing. I will rise up and do that which I am called to do." She led by example. Children want to be led. What are we leading our kids to do? I'm going to tell you something about your children. They're watching you. They are your biggest stalkers. Yes. Yes. They are watching you. They are watching you. They're watching you in the car when you get cut off. I had to wake up my friend because she struggles with that a little bit. They are watching you. They are watching you. They are watching you. Leading by example, it takes a thought. Come on. It doesn't take an immediate response. It takes a thought. How will this teach my children, and I'm leading in the right way? So it's almost like we have to use our brains in mothering. It's almost like we have to use our brains, our minds in mothering. We got to take a thought. We got to step back for a minute and not react to everything out of emotion and our insecurity and how we feel or what we want to do. And we have to stop and think for just a second. They're watching. How do I lead as a good example in this situation? We pray, oh, Father, oh, God, protect my boys from pornography. Protect them from unclean images. Please cover their minds, cover their hearts. And then we stay up late at night and watch our little shows. Come on, I'm going to step on your toes in my cute red shoes. Thank you. It's Valentine's Day. I wore red shoes. Very exciting. I woke up this morning and said, Jesus, you are the ultimate Valentine. You made red popular with your blood. Amen? Yeah. And I said, I want the Valentine of the blood of Jesus today. I want the biggest heart that's red just to cover me from head to toe. Amen? Amen. So I decided I was going to put that on my feet. Now I lost my track of mind. We pray, but we do things in secret. And then we wonder why we have struggles with our kids in certain areas. Are we leading? Are we leading by example? Now, I want to talk about falling because we are human. And we will fall. We will make mistakes as parents. But when you do fall, you don't just keep going and hope that your kids understand. No, you go to them and say, I did this wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I should have handled this in a different way. But mommy's human, and there are things God's working on in my life. But I want you to know that I was wrong. You know what you're teaching your child in that? Humility, repentance, knowing that we need God and that we're not so self-righteous that we can do everything on our own. I was wrong, and it takes a lot to do that, guys. But it's so good. It's so God. To come to that place of humility and say, I was wrong. Forgive me. Hallelujah. Go to chapter 4. And I want you to look at verse 4. 4:4. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at the time. Now, we are told that Deborah is a prophetess. A prophetess is a mouthpiece for God. Now, we are not all called to be prophetess here. We don't all have the spiritual. We're all called to the gifts of the Spirit, but we're not all called to the role of being a prophetess in the house. But I'm going to tell you something. We are called to speak His truth to our children. So our mouth has to be willing to serve in respect to speaking God's truth. Come on. The same as a prophetess. You have to allow God to use your mouth to speak His truth to your children. We're going to get fun here. Are you ready? When our children bring you an issue that they're having, come on, do you give your opinion from your place of pain, or do you wait and give them the truth on the matter, which is your place of healing? Now, I just want you to stop, and I want you to think about that for a minute. For example, your child comes home to you and says, Mom, so-and-so called me this and said I was this. And it's nasty. You know, it's nasty. Your reaction. What? What? They called you that? How dare they speak to you that way? They got big ears themselves. And you know what? I saw his mom the other day up at school, and she got big butt. Come on. Come on. Ladies, we can get nasty. We can get nasty if we want to. That is teaching your kids from your place of pain. Come on. That is passing on your pain to them, because now they're like, yeah, yeah, that's right, Mom. They do, they're, you know, he's stooping to that level. He's stooping to their level. Or, you ready? Your place of healing. This is how you respond. Your child comes home. Mom, so-and-so called me a bad name at school and said this horrible stuff about me. You wait. Father God, give me your wisdom here right now. Mm-hmm. Give me discernment. Honey, first and foremost, that was not nice what that boy said, or that girl. And those are wrong things to do. But you need to know that hurt people hurt people. And we know from God's word that you are none of those things. Because anything that is contrary to what God has in his word is a lie. So everything that that person told you is a lie from the pit of hell. I don't want you to think of one thing that they said that's truth. And then you start speaking the truth of God's word over them. This is what the word says to you. So let's not believe the lie, because that's not who you are. This is who you are. You're a child of God. You're strong and courageous. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That you know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That you will bloom in your season. That you will accomplish things that you never thought that you could accomplish according to the word of God in your life. God's got hope and a future for you. That his banner over you is love. That he calls you beloved. And then you sit there and say, this boy or this girl is hurting. They have pain. Let's pray for them right now that they will know their maker. And you pray for that child. Guys, I'm preaching to myself right now. That is mothering from a place of healing. And I've got goosebumps all over. That is mothering in any situation from a place of healing in your life. Amen? Yes. Look at verse 5, chapter 4. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. Now, I thought this was very interesting. She led Israel by setting up court under a palm between Ramah and Bethel. So go with me on this, okay? This, because the Bible is so specific to tell us where she sat and held court. And I thought, I can't bypass this. I can't just look over this and think that there's nothing to this. There is something about this that God wants to tell me about where I sit as a mother. Come on. This is the best part of the Word of God, is discovering its truth. So I did a little bit of studying. Where do I sit as a mother? Bethel means house of God. Bethel means house of God. And Ramah means height. H-E-I-G-H-T. Height. Did I spell that right? Yeah. Good. Ding, ding. So as a mother, I sit between the house of God and height. Okay, what does that mean, Amanda? I don't get it. Let's go further. Height means the measurement from base to top and from head to toe. Now, I'm going to give you a minute to write this stuff down because I feel like this is important. Height means measure the measurement from base to top or from head to toe. So as I sat here and began to ponder and to pray, Holy Spirit, what does this mean as a mother? How where do I sit? I believe he says, as a mother, we measure up our kids to God or the house of God, or we measure them up against the world. Okay? So we sit in between the house of God and between measurement from head to toe. And I felt like in my spirit that God said, who are you measuring your kids up to when you sit at court? Are you measuring them up to the house of God, his word, his truth? Or do you measure them up to the world? Because you sit in between measurement and the house of God. Come on. And this is the number one struggle that us moms struggle with. Measuring up our kids to other kids. Measuring up, comparing and contrasting. All this junk out there. Well, my child doesn't do this. Some of the biggest things that moms go into depression over is the comparing and contrasting of their kids and their seasons in life and what they can or cannot do. I've heard moms tell me before, like, you know, that they get discouraged when they read other moms' posts about all the cool homeschool things they do and adventures that they take and how they read there and think, oh, I'm just not good enough because I don't go on homeschool trips in the woods. And I don't go find rocks and sticks and know what's inside them and teach them. So my kids are just not any good. They just don't know that stuff. Come on. Come on. Praise God. Do we compare and contrast with what we see in the natural? Or do we build and measure them up against his word? The world gives no grace. I'm going to tell you that. God does. And he is all about seasons of life and blooming in different seasons of life. So your kids have seasons of blooming. And when you measure them up to that, there is more grace and peace in the seasons you are currently with. Do y'all get this? God has seasons of blooming in every child's life. And when you measure them up to God's word, you have peace about the current season they are in. Not about Becca or Johnny's or whatever season someone else is in, because you know that you're comparing your child against the seasons that God has them in, and you can have peace and know that the season that God has will come and it will be at the proper time and the right time for them to do what they're called to do or to lead like they're called to lead. For example, I'm going to talk about my child, Noah. Noah is my 13-year-old boy. When he was a baby, he was very fun and wonderful, and I loved him very much. But he was a little bit slower when it came to doing things. He didn't sit up when all the other babies sat up. He didn't crawl when my friend's baby was crawling. He didn't walk when the doctor said he should walk. And I always, you know, being so young and immature, just thought, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with him. You know, or just felt like I was a bad mother, or just all these things. I mean, these are natural things that we go through when we're in that season of life. But then things began to change because I started to get into the word. And I started to pray God's will and his word over him. Therefore, Noah was free to be Noah and not anybody else. And I was free to let him be Noah. And that brought me such great peace. Knowing that his season and his time would come. And he did. He crawled. He walked. He ran. And he's 13, going on 14, and plays all sorts of sports. But his season was Noah's season and God's season for his life. And you got to trust that. Because we are so uniquely made. Measure your kids up against grace and truth and the word, not the world. Come on. If this is one thing that you get from today, I hope you get this, because this is our number one struggle. Measure them up against God's truth and his word, not the world. Are you ready? We're moving on. Verse 9. Very well, Deborah said, I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. Now, we can go. Hopefully, you have time to read all this. But here we have this man, you know, that's called of God. to go fight the enemy. And God says, send for Barak. He's going to be the one that's going to kill the enemy. And he comes to Deborah and says, I will do this, but I will only do it if you come with me. And Deborah's response is verse 9. Let me read it again. Very well, I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. Deborah was willing to speak the truth as a mother figure. Now, she did not dance around what she knew was truth. She did not smother it with gravy and say, okay, well, I will go with you. I know I've got the maturity, so I probably should go with you. Yes, yes, I should go with you because I'm the prophetess and maybe God will give me a word to speak to you. No, she said it the way she knew it from God. You're not going to get the honor because you're asking me to go. And as mothers, we know sometimes the truth for our children, but yet we kind of like to smother it with gravy a little bit to make it easier. I don't know about y'all, but I do this a lot. When it's going to be hard for them to hear it, you know, we smother it with gravy. Like my husband, he's really good about not smothering with gravy at all. But I'm in there, and my husband's speaking the truth, you know, to our son. And I'm over there, like, whipping up my flour and water. I'm like, I'm getting ready to smother. Okay, Daddy, everything Daddy said was true. And let me just pour this gravy on it and make it easier for you to get it. Oh, honey, you're so smart and you're so good. And you're going to get this. You're going to know it. And completely go against what the truth was that he needed to hear. Now, there's a balance, ladies, and I understand that balance. But deep in my heart, I know that what he was speaking was the truth that my son needed to hear. And here I come with my bucket of gravy to smother over it. But what if by doing that, we're taking away their freedom to choose based on real truth heard? Deborah said, this will happen if you choose to have me go with and before you. And I thought about this for a long time. Because look at verse 6, as I explained earlier. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Underline that. Commands you. Does not command me and you. Commands you. Go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. And he goes on to say that you will overcome the enemy, and you will win. Because Barak was a soldier, and he was told to go, not Deborah. So, in thinking about this, do we hinder our children by shadowing them on things that they are called to do alone? Do we hinder our children by shadowing them on things they were called or destined to do? Because naturally, as mothers, we'll have that hesitancy because of the monumental task that's in front of them, right? But what did Barak miss out on by Deborah shadowing him? The honor. The honor. The honor. And you know what honor is to a man? That's like the one thing they want. Honor. Respect. He missed out on the honor, recognition for that defeat. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be a metal stealer. I don't. There comes a time in our life when we stop holding their hands behind them and helping them walk, and we give them that freedom to soar because we have sat in the place that we were called to sit at, and we compared them to the house of God in the season, and knowing that God's season for them had come. Where do we draw the line on mothering in the nest and teaching them to fly? The clue is in the word from God. God said to Deborah, send for Barak. He's the one to go. If he says, let them go, you have to trust that he has them and your shadowing days are done. because you have taught them and measured them against his word and his season in their life. And this all comes from an intimate relationship with Christ. This all comes from talking and speaking to the Holy Spirit and asking him, Father, you give me discernment. You give me understanding. You show me when I'm to let go and let them soar into the place that they're called to do, because I don't want to be a hindrance into the place that you are taking them in life. Father, I know that there are times when I am called to shadow out of protection. But Lord, if you're saying, let them go, help me to let them go. And trust that you have them. You have them. Wow. Talk about freedom to truly parent, right? When you can truly give your children to God for their season in life so they can do the thing they were born to do. I'm going to tell you something. You will always pray for your children. This is not a place where you come down and say, well, I'm done. No more praying. My mom still prays for us, and we very much need it. Your prayer list, in fact, will increase, because then you'll have a spouse to pray for, and children, and grandchildren. It'll increase. You will always pray for your children. Shadowing and prayer is always going to be there. Amen? Amen? But there will come a season when you physically will have to step back and trust that God is doing his will in their life. And to let go is to let God. Come on, ladies. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for teaching us on something that's so sensitive and so delicate to women. Father, because we all are born with a mothering heart. When we were little girls, all we wanted to do was pick up babies and love them and hold them, because that's how you created us, Father. Father, I just pray that we would just have that discernment from you, Lord, on our children, and knowing their seasons of life, and that we can measure them up against the word of God, Lord Jesus. Just so much peace with that, that I don't compare and contrast my kids with anybody else, but to what your word says about them. Father, I pray that I pass on healing to my children and not my places of pain. I pray that I would wait and be patient before you before I speak discernment and leadership into my kids. Lord, give me that discernment and understanding to be the mouthpiece of God for my children. We thank you for all this in your mighty name. Amen.